I'm really pleased to be with you this evening for a whole bunch of reasons, for reception and for being here at the Abbey with you and worship here this evening and celebrate the ministry. My name is Logan, and I'm the diocesan bishop for the Anglican Diocese on Vancouver Island, the surrounding Gulf Islands, which is known as British Columbia, but we don't take in all of British Columbia. We are islands and inlets off the southern coast of British Columbia. And I also echo the recognition of the territories. When I arrive in Parish, shall we say, you're not alone. Everybody is here, the whole diocese is here with you when I arrive to say that we're on a journey together. But also to say that we gather across these islands and inlets on the traditional territories of the Kwakwaka'wakw, the New Charnoth, and here, and of course, Salish, especially Algonquin-speaking people. So to say to you, Kleko Kleko, Hela Kesla, Haishka, welcome and thank you for being here. In the traditional language of my grandmother, Falcha, Kidmila Falcha, 100,000 welcomes to you. And that takes us to the British Isles. And we think about shepherds, those of us who are from the British Isles, and we think about shepherds, we think about Old Jock, whether it is in the borders of Scotland and England or in Wales or in Ireland. We think about Old Jock or Old Paddy with faithful Isles of the Sheepdog wandering around the green, lush hillsides, whistling, and the sheep kind of being herded from place to place and around the area. But that's not what the psalmist is thinking about. When we hear the Lord is my shepherd, we should be thinking about something else as well. We should be thinking about a place of danger. We should be thinking about a place of lack of resources. We should think about a community, the shepherd and his sheep, probably a goat instead of a border collie, probably a goat to herd the sheep around. But always on a journey, always traveling, always looking for resources because there is not enough resources to be had. Always looking for water, for grazing, always on the lookout because there are dangers all around them. At any moment, there could be a predator attacking them, attacking the herd, attacking the shepherd. What a message for the church in this day and age. With a lack of resources, always on the go and never being happy where we are because there's not enough there for us, but to continually be moving and looking for new resources, new place to graze, new place for water. And certainly, again, as we hear about a priest today in Africa, being shot at a mass and members of the parish, always danger out there. For anybody of faith, whatever faith community, not just for Christians, but for Muslims and Hindus and Sikhs, always in danger as people of faith in this day and age. The church is changing. The world is changing. And we need to change as well as we move ahead. We need to look at ourselves differently and look at what God is calling us to do to become in the future. I think that there is a message in the book of the Revelation for us. The book of the Revelation is given to a church under severe persecution, speaking to a group of Christians trying to live out the faith in very, very difficult times. And a message comes of honoring and celebrating God's presence at every time and in every place. Just before the passage that was read this evening, one of my favorite passages from the book of Revelation is there in chapter 5. And it's the opening of the seventh seal. I keep knocking things over today, so I'll just move over here. Okay, I won't catch in fire. So, it's the opening of the seventh seal. Everybody is gathered in heaven. All the cherubims, all the seraphims, all of the elders, all of the people in every generation. Heaven is packed. And the Holy One says, who will open the seal? Who will open the seal for us? And there is a silence across heaven. There's a silence across the universe. And nobody comes forward to open the seal. And then in this dramatic moment, just behind the Ancient of Days and the cherubim and the elders who are there, an opening occurs. People separate. And into the middle of this gathering comes the Lamb, limping, bloody, and the Lamb comes into the center, one who is in pain. Let me go back a little bit, and let's go back to John's gospel. And when John stands and says to the people who gather around him, "Behold the Lamb," those folk right away knew what he was talking about. Because the ancients did not have television. The ancients did not have the internet. Their television and their internet was the night sky. That's where they looked at. That's where they watched what was going to happen. That's where they learned all the things that were going to happen to them and to the world in which they live. And center, anybody in that time would have known that center in the night sky is what? Aries, the ram, the sheep. That's centered in the night sky. So as soon as John says, "Behold the Lamb," their mind went exactly to that constellation. And that's what they were looking for. But the interesting thing is, that's not what they got. They didn't get a lamb or a ram who's coming down to lead them into victory, but they got a lamb that was coming down to be crucified, to be slaughtered, to become vulnerable. And when we hear the book of the Revelation, we tend to go to the place where we are going to win in the end. How many preachers have you heard? I have said, I have read the end of the book and we are going to win. Sounds like a great victory in a great war. But it's not those who have the most power who will win in the end. It's not those who have the most arms, those who wage war, that will win in the end. It will be those who are most vulnerable. Jesus brings a new kingdom in. This lamb tells us that the important people, those who will have the power, the authority, the majesty, are the most vulnerable, the meek, the kind, the poor. Those are the ones that Jesus builds his kingdom around. Those are the ones that Jesus dies for. And so this vulnerable lamb brings together a vulnerable group of people to bring about the reality of God's kingdom. Last week, we just saw someone who exemplified that for us over generations. A Canadian, a Roman Catholic, Jean Vanier, who brought people together in a community called L'Arche, who brought the most vulnerable from our community and showed us what community was really like, who brought those that we use all sorts of terminology to explain, but really are vulnerable and differently gifted in our communities. And the importance for us as Christians as we travel is to travel alongside those communities and learn from them and be shaped for them, because in those communities we will see the Lamb's presence. I had the opportunity when Jean Vanier was at the University of Victoria in the early 90s to hear him speak. He said two things that stood out for me at that time. He said a lot of things, but two that stood out and have lasted with me. He said, if there is a purpose for education, and I do not believe sometimes that there is a purpose for education, but if there is a purpose for education, it is to make peacemakers. And if we're not, if our education is not making peacemakers, then there is no purpose for this education system, and we need to change it. How are we making peacemakers? How are we in our school system, in our communities, in our churches, making peacemakers? And the second thing he said, he told a wonderful story. He said, one day, I met Mr. Normal. It was a good experience. Mr. Normal came into my office, and he sat in my office. And then in came Jacques. Jacques was an older Down syndrome man. And Jacques came in laughing and giggling. He said, John, I know what's going to happen. At the end, Jesus will come. And Jesus will come down and Jesus will sit with me. And he'll say, come and eat with me, Jacques. Jacques, I love you. Come and eat with me. And he will have bread and he'll have cheese and he'll have cider. And we'll have a great time. Bye-bye, John. I'm going. And off Jacques went. And Mr. Normal said, sad, isn't it? And John Vanier said, it's Mr. Normal who is sad. Things need to change. We need to change as individuals, as a community of faith. And as we journey forward, we have to realize it's not by our strength, it's not by our might, it's by our vulnerability. It's by kindness, love, patience, long-suffering, that we will become a community with one another. When we lay down our lives, Jesus laid down his life long before they hung him on the cross. We are called to lay down our lives with one another. And most of all, we're certainly called to bring those people who are differently gifted into our communities, because only through them will our communities become stronger and come closer to the Lamb. Amen.